The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, IT specialist arrested for scam in nursing school admission. Chairman of Public Accounts Committee shocked at non-compliance of payment of statutory funds by government. Minister of Finance directs Controller and Accountant General's Department to open special account with banks to receive ghost salaries back to government's chest. Moderator of EP Church Ghana renews calls on government to return mission schools to churches. And Indonesia to go ahead with the execution of a Ghanaian and 9 other persons for drug offenses tonight, despite pleas for clemency from world leaders. The news in detail. An IT expert suspected to be behind a syndicate that hacks into the online nurses training school admission system of the Ministry of Health has been arrested by the police. The suspect, Isaac Kwesi Otibu, 27, an official of the IT department of the Accra Regional Hospital School at Ridge, is said to have generated its own online forms and receipts in the name of the ministry, which he sold and issued to prospective students. An accomplice, whose name is being withheld for security reasons, has also been arrested. The accomplice is said to have mounted an illegal sales point for the sale of the forms, although they were to be bought at the health training schools. The syndicate, which has been detected nationwide in all health training schools, is said to have cost the Ministry of Health about 3 million Ghana cedis, representing 50% of its internally generated funds from the sale of the nurses training school admission forms. The prospective students pay 80 Ghana cedis for online forms, after which they are issued with receipts with special codes, which are used to fill the admission forms online. The Accra Regional Police Crime Officer Chief Superintendent Paul Nantongma said the suspects are being processed for court on a provisional charge of forging documents. The Public Relations Officer of the Ministry of Health, Tony Goodman, said the suspects have been siphoning revenue through the ministry and defrauding applicants for some time now. He said the fake forms were sold in vans, illegal sales points, and internet cafes across the country. Senior high schools in the Northern Region have finally reopened for the commencement of the third term. Authorities of the schools earlier announced that the schools had been closed indefinitely due to the unavailability of feeding grants. A visit to some selected senior high schools in the Tamale metropolis revealed that some boarders have already reported ahead of the official reopening tomorrow. A source close to Radio Ghana, however, revealed that the schools have not yet received their feeding grants. Most senior high schools in the country reopened 2 weeks ago. However, their counterparts in the Northern, Upper East and Upper West regions could not reopen because of government's failure to pay their feeding grants. Vice President Kwesi Mbisa-Afa says the increasing number of unemployed educated youth in the country is a source of concern to government. He said the number keeps increasing annually, a situation which he believes could destabilize the country's social cohesion and economic development. Vice President Mbisa-Afa expressed the concern when the former Vice President of the African Development Bank, Tama Sakala, called on him at the Flagstaff House. Mr. Sakala is in the country to canvass Ghana's support for his bid to become the next president of the African Development Bank. The vice president noted that the more than 30 public and private tertiary institutions in Ghana produce thousands of graduates annually to compete for few job opportunities. He was of the view that when frustration sets in as a result, some of these unemployed educated persons fall into the hands of unruly political and social forces. He, however, indicated that a number of measures have been instituted to address the problem. Mr. Sakala thanked Vice President Mbisa-Afa for receiving him. He expressed the hope that Ghana would bring its influence to bear on other African countries for them to endorse him as the next president of the African Development Bank. Government continues to delay in the transfer of funds to statutory funds, making it difficult for the statutory institutions to timely undertake programs and projects. Since 2011, government has not been current with the release of funds to the GET Fund. Responding to queries at a public hearing of the Public Accounts Committee in Parliament, Deputy Minister of Finance, Kessie Olatunfosun, said the ministry is doing all it can to ensure timely transfer of money to the GET Fund. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Kukwajima Imenu, was not enthused with the continuous delay in the release of the funds and wondered why non-compliance to laws by government institutions should go unpunished.
There's a provision in an act, and then it's a thing that complies with the provisions of the act. If somebody says to do what the law says you should do, what happens? That is what the Ghanaian people is interested in. Parliament is also interested in that. We make laws, and somebody should enforce the law. In this particular respect, we are not asking the police to come and arrest the finance minister for non-compliance. So in this respect, what should we do?
Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Kwajima Aminu, Deputy Minister of Finance, Castle Atufosun, preferred reasons why year in, year out, the government is unable to timely release funds to the GET Fund.
We have some arrests due GET Fund as of 2011. We ended last year with two quarter arrests due Ghana Education Trust Fund. But we agreed that going forward from this year, we are going to stay current. I can confirm also that this quarter we've made transfers to Ghana Education Trust Fund. The reality is different from what we see in the law, because though we don't have a law written that you have to pay salaries as and when it's due, but you have a responsibility that you pay as and when the person's salary is due. So, Chairman, that also becomes a precise statutory obligation. If you take up a loan from either multilateral or bilateral institution, or from a commercial source, it becomes a precise statutory obligation. So you are confronted with a situation whereby, based on what revenue that you get, you first of all have to pay the person working for you. Secondly, you have to service the obligation onto the multilateral or the bilateral institution, and then you pay the statutory funds that are also due. In a situation like that, and you become you are the finance minister, you virtually look at what you can do and what you can do. And obviously, if you cannot pay the statutory fund, you are also permitted to discuss with the authorities and structure something that you, in the end, you end up paying it to them. So, Chairman, these are some of the realities that we are confronted in managing the economy.
Deputy Minister of Finance, Castle Atufosun, speaking of the release of funds to the GET Fund at a public hearing of the Public Accounts Committee in Parliament. The Minister of Finance, Seth Tekpe, has entreated heads of departments at MDAs to assist the Controller and Accountant General's Department in its efforts to eliminate ghost names from government payroll system. He said because the heads of institutions have direct responsibility over their staff, they are duty-bound to notify the controller whenever a staff member is no longer in service or when multiple payments are made to an individual. The minister stated this, that his ministry has directed the controller and accountant general to open a special account to enable banks which receive ghost salaries to pay back the money to the government. Mr. Tekpe was speaking at a public hearing of the Public Accounts Committee in Parliament.
The controller has been directed to open an account into which banks will find money that are found either to be effective or clearly a mistake or fraudulent. These are the directives which we have issued to the controller. I believe this will be operationalized. But we need the cooperation of all government units to help improve the payroll and the accounting systems that we have. Because they manage the staff at the unit level, and it will be prompt. Frankly, if a teacher is transferred or retired, or even in the event where the bad information would be provided promptly.
The Controller and Accountant General, Grace Adjoya, who also appeared before the committee, said ghost names come in various forms. She asked banks to help the Controller and Accountant General in retrieving amounts paid illegally.
The effectiveness of workings of the control depend on all the key players. We have also developed a standard template and circulated to all the banks that give us information when we send you a salary of 1 million and you are paid 960. Tell us what you have actually transferred to people's accounts, which ones you can identify and credit, and which ones are people not accessing. So as part of what we are doing, we developed this standard template to all the banks to furnish us with that information. Multiple payments can't
That was the Controller and Accountant General Grace Adjoya. As part of efforts to improve public financial management in the country, the Institute of Chartered Accountants Ghana is to partner the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy, a professional body in the UK, to provide advocacy and advice on the sector. The president of the Chartered Institute of Accountants, Professor Buisa Kwamanintri, said the institute recognizes that a vibrant economy can only be built when sound public financial management systems are put in place a service at the annual Accountants Week celebration of the Chartered Institute of Accountants in Accra. Rukia Tumusa has more.
This year's celebration focused on transforming the accountancy profession in the era of high technology. Currently, the institute has professional membership of about 4,000 practicing as business entrepreneurs, chief financiers, chief internal auditors, and financial analysts. The president of the Chartered Institute of Accountants, Boeseakun Omani Enchi, said the institute has over the past 50 years worked hard on professional accountancy globally and earned memberships of international organizations. He said the partnership with the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy based in the UK will strengthen and provide global capacity building on public financial management to finance professionals locally.
The Institute of Chartered Accountants Ghana has adopted a leadership role through its clear recognition of the need for strengthening public financial management. The commitment of the accountancy profession and government to improving financial management can only be to the benefit of the people of Ghana. The Institute of Chartered Accountants Ghana recognizes that a sound Ghanaian economy can only be built with a public financial management system put in place among the sound. In this regard, the institute is delighted to partner CEFA to serve the public interest through a strong advocacy and advisory role on public financial management issues in Ghana. The MOU will provide a basis for cooperation and collaboration between CEFA and ICH in the advancement of high-quality public financial management in Ghana through a number of initiatives. This will include advocating financial management reforms, identifying, developing and supporting capacity building and the provision of a broad range of training programs tailored to government and public sector finance staff. It will also support professional development, enabling opportunities for dual membership of both entities. The experience to be gained by the institute through this collaboration will be put at the disposal of the Controller and Accountant General Department.
The week's celebration will include an annual general meeting, a two-day conference, and a dinner dance, all at the University of Cape Coast.
Rukia Tumusa reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. IT specialist arrested for scam in nursing school admission. Chairman of Public Accounts Committee shocked at non-compliance of payment of statutory funds by government. Finance Minister directs Controller and Accountant General's Department to open special accounts with banks to receive ghost salaries back to government chest. Moderator of EP Church Ghana renews calls on government to return mission schools to churches. And Indonesia to go ahead with the execution of a Ghanaian and 9 other persons for drug offences tonight, despite pleas for clemency from world leaders. Please stay with us. Welcome back. The leadership of EP Church Ghana has appealed to government to reconsider the involvement of churches in the management of mission schools and hospitals. Thus, it believes will bring back the age-old discipline that existed in mission schools. The moderator of the EP Church, the Right Reverend Samuel Seth Agidi, made the appeal when he led a delegation to call on President John Mahama, the Flagstaff House in Accra. Pascaline Adadevu reports.
At their last General Assembly in August 2014, Right Reverend Dr. Seth Samuel Agidi was elected to take over from the indigenous Reverend Francis Amenu, who served for 6 years. Leadership of the EP Church, led by its new moderator, called at the presidency to formally introduce Right Reverend Seth Agidi to President John Mahama and also raise some concerns with pertinent national issues. The Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Ghana has been instrumental in the establishment of educational institutions and has also assisted in fostering peace in conflict-prone areas. Right Reverend Agidi expressed worry over the falling standards of education, particularly in the rural areas, whilst appealing for churches to be allowed in the running of mission schools. He also raised concerns with the National Health Insurance Scheme and poor health care delivery in some public hospitals.
The church is seriously worried about some pertinent issues confronting some of the country's educational and health institutions. Notably among them are the falling standards of academic performance in public basic schools, particularly those in rural areas, the high incidence of moral decadence another act of indiscipline among both pupils and some teachers. These deficiencies in the education and health institutions, if not checked, will not only derail the good interventions of the government, but will also affect attainment of the developmental goals in these sectors. It is in this regard that we are reiterating our appeal to the government to consider as a matter of urgency the need for churches to be involved in the management of mission schools and also the hospitals.
President Mahama commended the partnership the state has enjoyed from the church in various sectors.
However much we try, government will never have all the resources to be able to satisfy all the needs that our citizens have at the same time. And so any partners that assist government to be able to achieve this are very important partners that you need to hold on to. And the church has been one such partner. I mean, if you take any sector from education to healthcare, you know, to agriculture, you find, you know, church institutions actively engaged there. Recently, in tertiary education, the church is playing a very important role.
Right Reverend Dr. Seth Agidi, on behalf of the church, presented President Mahama with a Holy Bible. He also invited him to the 7th General Assembly of the Church in August this year. President Mahama said the date has already been noted in his diary and he will be present.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting. Still at the corridors of the EP Church Ghana, its moderator of the General Assembly, Right Reverend Seth Agidi, has admonished Christians to eschew ethnicity and other divisive tendencies that do not augur well not only for the church but also the nation at large. Right Reverend Agidi was addressing the 6th Whole West Presbytery Synod of the EP Church Ghana at Dodoma Ariaso in the Whole West District of the Volta Region. Correspondent Rejoice Ejiani has filed its report for Radio Ghana.
The moderator of the General Assembly of the EP Church, the Reverend Seth Agidi, expressed worry about the crave for material gains resulting in high levels of corruption in the country. He therefore called on the people to be guided by the gospel, which is a potential force of transformation. The Right Reverend Agidi called on parents to invest in their wards to ensure a secure future for them. The Whole West Presbytery Synod moderator of the EP Church, the Reverend Edwin Komola Agbanu, in a sermon noted that Christ laid down his life to reconcile mankind with God. He therefore called on religious and political leaders to emulate Christ's good leadership and not use their positions to amass wealth. The Reverend Agbanu admonished Ghanaians to be patriotic and interested in the growth and development of the country, instead of emptying the coffers of the country through corrupt practices. The administrator and human resource manager of the EP Church, the Reverend Daniel Dogbe, said the synod is used to evaluate performances of the past and map out strategies for the future. He appealed to religious groups to support senior high schools to improve upon their academic output. The four-day synod was attended by ministers and 100 commissioners from the 12 presbyteries of the church.
That was a report from correspondent Rejoice Ejiani. The Ghana Chamber of Bulk Oil Distribution Companies has called on the President to constitute an investigative committee to look into the issues of reconciliation and allegations of bribery. The committee must also look into issues of the leakage of a confidential tape in respect of stock audit. The Chief Executive Officer of the Chamber, Senyo Husi, who made the call, said the call for a presidential committee does not stop any BDC willing to take any legal action against BOST to establish its liability.
We call on government officials and the public who have been misguided by the stories to respectfully rationalize for themselves. How can we be accused of massive fraud and collusion when the draft report nowhere states or proves so, with the reliability of the report itself being limited by the auditors and clearly defined as reliance restricted? Even more so when it is known that the audit was a stock reconciliation audit and not a forensic audit, which is required by audit practice to establish fraud. Judge for yourselves whether or not it is possible to rob or overdraw strategic stocks which did not exist. Whether BDCs can be accused of overdrawing 2.13 billion liters of bus stocks which did not exist from depots whose combined storage capacity does not exceed 425 million liters.
Senyo is the Chief Executive Officer of the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributing Companies. and Mr. Hosi has denied confessing to a bribery allegation leveled against him in a leaked tape currently in circulation. He said the tape is to deliberately malign him and that of members of the chamber by creating the impression that the accusations of bribery to connive and rob bust are true. According to a report in a national daily, some top officials of Bust supported BDC to rob Bust of petroleum products at the depots, leading to significant losses that affected National Strategic Reserve of Petroleum Products.
In a quest to deliberately malign my reputation and that of the members of my chamber, a selectively leaked tape is being circulated so as to create the impression that the accusations of bribery, forgery, fraud, massive whatever it is, and to connive to rob us was true. I wish to state that neither my office nor person was involved in the audit process or any of the reconciliations that BDC carried out with Boss monthly. I've not even sat at one before to even discuss and even tell anybody anything. The selective voice recording being circulated was not in any way related to the Boss stock audit. There is no confession to the allegations associated and concocted in respect of the stock audit. The tape that's being circulated by WhatsApp and all that, it's a confidential recording of my testimony 3 years ago before a ministerial committee, the Avenato Committee, set up to look into complaints lodged by petroleum service providers, which includes us, of extortion by some bus officials in time past. This we believe does not augur well for the cooperation of individuals and institutions when looking into issues of immense confidential importance. We hereby call on the minister to take steps to investigate how such a sensitive file was leaked to the media and has been actively circulated.
That was the chief executive officer of the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors, Senyu Hosi. Deputy Petroleum Minister Benjamin Dagadu has announced that National Security has taken over investigations into claim of fraud and bribery involving the Bulk Oil Storage Transport Company, and the involvement of the National Security is contrary to a demand by the bulk distribution companies for a presidential probe into allegations of a deliberate attempt to defraud a bulk storage facility. Women's representation and participation in political institutions is one that Ghana is failing compared to other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. Countries such as Cameroon and Senegal have made great efforts to increase the number of women in politics. This situation will not last long with the passage of the Affirmative Action Bill. This bill is believed to create more room for women to actively participate in politics. The Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nanoye Litha, revealed this at the inaugural Gender Dialogue and the launch of the 40th anniversary of Ghana National Women Machinery in Accra. Yawi Mirika has filed this report.
Exactly 40 years, on 21st April, the first National Council of Women and Development, NCWD, was inaugurated by the late General Kutue Champong. The mandate of the council was to advise government on issues on women. The creation of the NCWD was a follow-up on the UN resolution calling on member states to establish appropriate government machinery to accelerate the integration of women in development and eliminate all forms of discrimination against women. 40 years down the line, the national women's machinery has stood the test of time and has liberated women economically, socially and politically. Today, women form 29% of ministers, 23% of deputy ministers, 16% of chief directors and 8% of district municipal chief executives. Speaking at the inaugural dialogue of the National Women's Machinery, the Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nanaoye Litha, acknowledged the achievement of the country's women machinery.
Laws have been passed, interstate succession, criminalizing customary servitude, several laws have been passed. We have talked achievements. We are just about to adopt a gender policy, affirmative action. We have co-sponsored Property Rights for Spouses Bill, the Interstate Succession Bill, a National Child Protection Policy has been approved by Cabinet, and also a witch camp has been closed.
That was the Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nanaoye Litha, ending that report by Yao Emirika. In foreign news, reports say suspected Boko Haram gunmen have shot dead 21 people who were returning home to recover abandoned supplies in northeast Nigeria. The Gujba local government in Yobe State said the victims, were all male were stopped at the village of Butaram by gunmen believed to belong to Boko Haram and gunned them down. Family members of one of the victims disclosed that the men went back to their homes in the village to recover food supplies. Indonesia appears likely to press ahead with the execution of 9 drug criminals today, despite last-ditch appeals by Australia's foreign minister for a stay of execution, so claims of corruption during the trials of the 2 Australian prisoners could be investigated. The Australian Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, said she received a letter from Indonesia which offered no indication of a reprieve for Murian Sukoman and Andrew Chan. The 2 are among 9 drug convicts, mostly foreigners, who are due to be executed by a firing squad tonight. The Indonesian President, Joko Widodo, in a statement said such concerns should have been conveyed a decade ago when the case went through the courts. The members of the Bali 9 were arrested at the main airport on the holiday island of Bali in April 2005, trying to smuggle 8.3 kilograms of heroin to Australia. A man believed to be in his early 50s, Alfred Owusu, has been found dead in his room at Ebiato Sheep Moor in Kumasi. The man, believed to have died about 3 days ago, was found in a state of decomposition. The wife of the deceased landlord told Radio Ghana that she believed the man died from an epileptic attack while alone. She said she was the first to find Mr. Owusu dead when she saw his body leaning against his bed with foam oozing from his mouth. She said not seeing the deceased for about 3 days in the house and without any knowledge of his whereabouts, she decided to check his room. She added that she was compelled the more because early that morning she noticed a bad stench which she initially mistook for that of a dead mouse, but she could not locate the supposed dead mouse upon a thorough search of the house. The matter has since been reported to the Sofuline police. The police say they are investigating the circumstances leading to his death. And now to end the news, another look at our headlines. The police have arrested an IT specialist, Isaac Kwesi Otibu, suspected to be the perpetrator of a scam into the online nursing training school admission system of the Ministry of Health. The 27-year-old, who is a student of the IT department of the Accra Regional Hospital School at Ridge, is said to have generated online forms and receipts, which he sold and he issued out to prospective students. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Kwekwajima Menu, has expressed shock at the non-compliance of payment of statutory funds by government, saying the trend should not go unpunished. He said this when the Deputy Finance Minister appeared before the committee in Parliament. And the Finance Minister said Tepe has directed the Controller and Accountants General Department to open special accounts with banks to receive ghost salaries back to government chest. Mr. Tepe gave the directive when he spoke at the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament hearing in Accra. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.